जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गो भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गो भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गो भक्त वृंद गो प्रेम नंदी हरे हरि बोल. सो in this run-up to the Gaur Purnim festival, we are reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj, translation commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we're reading Adi Lila chapter 17, I forget exact verse. 45. Okay. Do we do this in Bengali too? I'll do one, just to get the taste. Tinandina rahi sehi gopala chapal. Savange Aila Kushta Vehe Raktadar. After 3 days, leprosy attacked Gopal Chapala, and blood oozed from the sores all over his body. Incessantly covered with germs and insects biting him all over his body, Gopal Chapala felt unbearable pain. His entire body burned in distress. Since leprosy is an infectious disease, Gopal Chapala left the village to sit down on the bank of the Ganges underneath a tree. One day, however, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passing by and spoke to him as follows. My dear nephew, I am your maternal uncle in our village relationship. Please see how greatly this attack of leprosy has afflicted me. As an incarnation of God, you are delivering so many fallen souls. I am also a greatly unhappy fallen soul. Kindly deliver me by your mercy. So this Gopal Chapala has had quite a change in mood. You remember he has insulted Shiva's Thakur by putting all kinds of bogus paraphernalia outside his door, trying to show him to be a Shakta, or worshipper of Durga and Shiva. And of course that wasn't taken up, and he is now reaping the reward, so-called. Now he's trying to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. We'll see what happens. Now, should I read the purport here? It's a small purport. It appears that although Gopal Chapala was sinful, talkative, and insulting, he nevertheless had the qualification of simplicity. Thus he believed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who had come to deliver all fallen souls. And he appealed for his own deliverance, seeking the mercy of the Lord. He did not know, however, that the deliverance of the fallen does not consist of curing their bodily diseases, although it is also a fact that when a man is delivered from the material clutches, his material body diseases are automatically cured. Gopal Chapala simply wanted to be delivered from the bodily sufferings of leprosy, but Sri Chaitanya, although accepting his sincere appeal, wanted to inform him of the real cause of suffering. So Prabhupada says here that he accepted his appeal. But that would take a little time for him to realize. And you'll see the Lord's response here. Hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared greatly angry. And in that angry mood, he spoke some words chastising him. Oh, sinful person, envious of pure devotees, I shall not deliver you. Rather, I shall have you bitten by these germs for many millions of years. Purport, we should note herein that all our sufferings in this material world, especially from disease, are due to our past sinful activities. And of all sinful activities, actions directed against a pure devotee out of sheer envy are considered extremely severe. Lord Chaitanya wanted Gopal Chapala to understand the cause of his suffering. Any person who disturbs a pure devotee engaged in broadcasting the holy name of the Lord is certainly punished like Gopal Chapala. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we shall see, one who offends a pure devotee can never satisfy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unless and until he sincerely regrets his offense and thus rectifies it. So we should take this very seriously. That although we may not think that this devotee or that devotee is a pure devotee, still One who is, we're certainly engaged, they're certainly engaged in broadcasting the message of Krishna and his holy name. And they should be very, very careful about offending devotees, what to speak of the pure devotee. Resuming. You have made Sri Vastaka appear to have been worshipping the goddess Bhavani. Simply for this offense, you will have to fall down into hellish life for 10 million births. Purport, there are many tantric followers who practice the black art of worshipping the goddess Bhavani in a crematorium, wishing to eat meat and drink wine. Such fools also consider this Bhavani puja as good as worship of Lord Krishna in devotional service. Such abominable tantric activities as performed by so-called swamis and yogis are herein condemned, however, by Lord Chaitanya. He declares that such Bhavani puja for drinking wine and eating meat quickly plunges one into hellish life. The method of worship itself is already hellish, and its results must also be hellish and nothing more. Many rascals say that whatever way one accepts, one will ultimately reach Brahman. This is the famous Yatamat Tatapat. I met someone who tried to teach me that one time. I luckily escaped from his clutches. Yet we can see from this verse how such persons reach Brahman. Brahman spreads everywhere, but appreciation of Brahman in different objects leads to different results. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Ye yata mam prapadyante, tang sataiva bhajamyaham." I reward everyone according to his surrender unto me. This is 4:11. Mayavadis certainly realize Brahman in certain aspects, but realization of Brahman in the aspects of wine, women, and meat is not the same realization of Brahman that devotees achieve by chanting, dancing, and eating prasadam. Mayavadi philosophers, being educated in paltry knowledge, think all sorts of Brahman realization one and the same, and do not consider varieties. But although Krishna is everywhere, by his inconceivable potency, he is simultaneously not everywhere. Thus, the Brahman realization of the tantric cult is not the same Brahman realization as that of pure devotees. Unless one reaches the highest point of Brahman realization, Krishna consciousness, he is punishable. All people except Krishna conscious devotees are to some proportion Pashandis or demons, and thus they are punishable by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, as stated below. Pashandi is defined, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahmarudradi Daivatai Samadvenada Viksheta Sapashendi Bhavai Dhruvam. This is certainly a Pashandi, according to this verse. One who equates Brahma and Shiva and other demigods with Krishna is said to be a Pashandi, means an atheist or a demon. So much of Srila Prabhupada's preaching and Bhaktisiddhanta's teachings and Lord Chaitanya's teachings and Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is in making it very clear that Krishna, that Ekale Ishvara Krishna Asabhavitya, that there is one supreme master controller, that's Krishna, and all others are his servants, including the devas and the devis, the demigoddesses and the gods. And so we should always remember that. And if we encounter someone who is trying to equate or yatama tatabat, any way you go, you will reach the supreme goal, then we have to oppose them. So Lord Chaitanya continues, I have appeared in this incarnation to kill the demons, and after killing them, to preach the cult of devotional service. Lord Chaitanya's mission, same as Lord Krishna, stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yadaya Dahi Dharmasya. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of a religion, at that time I descend myself, in order to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as reestablish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. This is Bhagavad Gita 4, 7, and 8. As explained here, the real purpose of an incarnation of Godhead is to kill the atheists and maintain the devotees. He does not say, like so many rascal incarnations, that both atheists and devotees are on the same platform. Lord Chaitanya, or Lord Krishna, the real personality of Godhead, does not advocate such an idea. Atheists are punishable, whereas devotees are to be protected. To maintain this principle is the mission of all avatars, or incarnations. One must therefore identify an incarnation by his activities, not by popular votes or mental concoctions. Lord Chaitanya gave protection to devotees and killed many demons in the course of his preaching work. All right, we'll explain that in a minute. He specifically mentioned that the Mayavadi philosophers are the greatest demons. Therefore, he warned all others not to hear the Mayavad philosophy. Mayavadi basha shunale hoy sarvanash. Simply by hearing the Mayavad interpretation of the Shastras, one is doomed. Madhya 6.169. So, this is a kind of an interesting statement here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave protection to devotees and killed many demons in the course of his preaching work. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we know, this incarnation, Krishna did not come with any weapons, at least not any lethal weapons. He had the holy name. He had his beauty, according to Jiva Goswami. But he didn't have the chakra in his hand, nor did he have the bow and arrows. Ram did. So what does it mean here that he killed so many demons? Well, as we see with Gopal Chapala, who is classified as a demon, he will ultimately be delivered because his demonic mentality was slain by Lord Chaitanya's influence. Just as Jagai and Madai, they're the archetypes for this. They were fallen Brahmins. They were insulting devotees even to the point of physically attacking Nityananda Prabhu. They were thieves, murderers, even rapists, according to Chaitanya Bhagavan. And yet, by the influence of Lord Nityananda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were delivered, and their demonic mentality was destroyed. It was eradicated, and they became pure devotees, followers of Lord Chaitanya. So this is the way in which Lord Chaitanya kills the demons. In this age, it is said that the demons and devotees are born in the same body. So, in other words, in previous ages, they were in different planets. We know the demons had their planets, and the demigods had their planets. And in later ages, they were in different countries. Now, we're all in the same body. So, we also have these demonic tendencies. Read chapter 16. Make a checklist. See how many of those you once had or still may have to some degree. And yet we find by the process of devotional service, which is after all simply coming in touch in many different ways with Krishna through his holy name, through his devotees, through his deities, through his devotees' books like Srila Prabhupada. In other words, Sangha. By that Sangha of the Lord and his expansions and his energies, we become purified. This is the process of purification by which our demonic tendencies can be eradicated. Because by nature, everyone is a devotee. Every living entity, even in lower species, they're ultimately devotees of Krishna. It's just that they don't know it. We've been identifying with this material body, whatever it may be, whatever family, whatever species we get born in, we identify with that. And we forget our real nature. So Krishna consciousness brings out the real swarup, the real nature and the real function and mood and consciousness of the living entity. This is real mukti. Mukti hitbhanyata rupam swarupena vivastatihi. That mukti is defined as giving up all these other bodies and identifications and being situated in our swarup, which according to Lord Chaitanya is jivera swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. It's Krishnera Nityadas, eternal servant of Krishna, as was read this morning in the passage that Savasprabhu was reading. So we'll see, Lord Chaitanya is severely chastising this Gopal Chapala, threatening him with millions of years of suffering in hellish life, but we'll see in a short time he gets delivered because he surrenders to Shiva's Thakura, who he insulted. After saying this, the Lord left to take his bath in the Ganges, and that sinful man did not give up his life, but continued to suffer. Purported, it appears that an offender of a Vaishnav continues to suffer and does not give up his life. We have actually seen that a great Vaishnav aparadi is continuously suffering so much that it is difficult for him to move, and yet he does not die. I'm not sure who Srila Prabhupada is referring to here. If anyone knows, they can let me know. I always think of Dr. Nair, but I think, or Mr. Nair. That may be him. But I think he died suddenly from a heart attack at one point. Yeah. Oh, is that who he's talking about? Okay. So, then it goes on, when Lord Chaitanya, after accepting the renounced order of life, went to Jagannath Puri, and then came back to the village of Kulia. Upon his return, that sinful man took shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord, being merciful to him, gave him instructions for his benefit. Now, this is quite some time. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, went to Puri, immediately went to South India, went on a tour for at least for 2 years. He didn't return to Bengal for years after taking sannyas. All this time, Gopal Chapala is sitting there with leprosy, his nose falling off, bugs in his hand, you know, with a lot of suffering. But he'll be delivered now. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Anubhashya has given the following note in connection with the village of Kulia. Okay, we'll skip that. That's some geographical information. So now, Lord Chaitanya is back with Gopal Chapala. You have committed an offense at the lotus feet of Shiva's Thakur, the Lord said. First, you must go there and beg for his mercy. And then if he gives you his blessings and you do not commit such sins again, you will be freed from these reactions. Then the Brahmin, Gopal Chapala, went to Shiva's Thakur and took shelter of his lotus feet. And by Shiva's Thakur's mercy, he was freed from all sinful reactions. So that's the end of the story of Gopal Chapala. And we can take some important lessons there. First of all, be very careful about offending and insulting Vaishnavas. And we can see that the preaching movement, the Sankhya movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is in one sense a two-edged sword, because we're giving everyone a chance. The idea is to go out on Harinam, book distribution, prasad distribution, the festivals are there. You know? The whole idea is outreach, just to have someone reached out to us and brought us in. But at the same time, these people have a chance to perform offenses, right? And they do sometimes. They certainly insults or flyings oftentimes when you're on Harinam. Maybe not as much as it used to be, but so that can be harmful for a person. And yet the devotees realize that this is the only way that some others can be saved. And so the chance is there for both offense and service. There's so much sense for agyata sukriti and agyata duskriti at the same time. People don't know what they're doing. Some of them are very fortunate. They're giving some little donation, or they're appreciating the Harinam, or they're taking a book. In some way or other, they like the Jagannath Rath Yatra, right? That festival is so wonderful. People can appreciate in so many different ways the glories of the Lord. And they're all benefited in this way. But at the same time, some people are paving their way to some great suffering by insulting the devotees. But the devotees themselves never take an insult. And that's why when, as we see with Ambarish and Durvasa in the sixth canto or eighth canto? Eighth canto. Ninth canto, sorry. That Ambarish was immediately ready to forgive Durvasa. In fact, he begged the chakra to release him when he saw that Durvasa was suffering. So this is the quality of the great devotees. They themselves never take insult. You know, that man apamane otulyos. This is right in the Bhagavad Gita. If one is honored or dishonored, you remain equipoised. And in fact, the great devotees will feel sorry because they know that the Lord will not tolerate that and there will be so much reaction. And so Shiva's Thakur, of course, forgave him. But the offender has to come to the point of surrender. You can see what it is. It's exactly the opposite mood. Someone who's insulting and offending, he's on the platform of arrogance and false ego and pride, false pride. So in order to turn it around and surrender to that person, that takes, oftentimes it takes some suffering. There has to be a real change of heart. So Krishna will sometimes put someone through some real hardship in order to reform them. This is part of what is called the tapasya, or burning out the impurities process. Now, the devotees voluntarily do that. But for others, it comes involuntarily. And one can hardly help mentioning this earthquake tsunami phenomenon in Japan. This is actually... It's horrific to see this suffering going on. and devotees' hearts go out to them. But at the same time, we see that this is also a preaching opportunity, because the material nature is so unpredictable. One goes along day by day, kind of oblivious to the fragility of your little life that we're leading here. We make plans, we build things, we have our, you know, the insurance policy, we have our industry, we have this and that. But nature is uncompromising. It's Krishna's nature. And at a certain point, all of that can collapse at an instant, you know. And I'm sure here in Southern California, even more so, we're thinking, well, I mean, I'm sitting on the Pacific Beach about 4 blocks from the ocean. You know, 33-foot wave? Yes, it'll come. It'll just about reach my second floor. Thank you. You know, that's what happened in Sendai. Are we so far away from that? So, this is part of knowledge, to see the fragility of life. And the conclusion of the devotee is that we have to immediately take shelter of Krishna at every moment and call out to him to save us. You know, not to save us from the earthquake, but to save us from the disaster of forgetting him. That's the disaster. Better to be encaged in a cage of fire than to be forced to associate with non-devotees. Why? Because I'll make you forget Krishna. That's the problem. So these kind of disasters, I still remember the Holocaust right out here in Venice Boulevard. And Archie, were you here today? I think it was only a few of us who were here now were here then. And, you know, things are going along day by day, as everything does, kind of in Southern California, you know. they're widening the road. This Venice Boulevard used to be a four-lane highway. Two on each side, you know. So they said, oh, we got to have three on each side because the traffic is so, that's a big job. So it took years, actually, they were going. And maybe it was 76, I think it happened. And, you know, they didn't know that there were a refinery up in the hills. The guy who was operating the bulldozer didn't know that. The refinery, gasoline, was being pumped down to the piers to be offloaded and shipped. So he hit one of those lines of gasoline and started spewing out ignited, boom, you know, 50, 100 feet high. Suddenly there's a big conflagration right in the middle of Venice Boulevard. And the devotees said, my God, it looked like everything was going to go up. It was just towering over this temple, you can see. And everyone panicked. I mean, didn't panic, but suddenly, you know, the mood was the clothes. You realize how many thousands and thousands of dollars in man hours and women hours were making those clothes. I remember Varanasi. You remember Varanasi and Navadvip? Varanasi was like a madwoman grabbing those clothes. Getting all of them go in the bus and out. We ran all the books. The book room was saved. You know, the deities came out. And anyway, it was like that. Of course, it didn't happen. The temple was preserved. But for a couple of hours there, and amazingly, no devotees were hurt. Some people were killed, you know, by the fire. It was incredible. So just by way of illustration of how fragile and how temporary our situation is. In any moment, either collectively or personally, you get a stroke, you know, or something happens, someone you know who's dear to you. These things happen all the time. This is what material life is all about. And the result is, the conclusion of the devotee is that turnam yateta nabateta namityavat nikshe esaya shiya karasarvataksya. That therefore one should immediately strive with this body, which is anumrityu, which is at any moment subject to death. One should strive for nikshaya, so the ultimate good, Krishna consciousness returning back to Godhead. Because vishaya, sense gratification, we've experienced in all different lifetimes, and even in this lifetime. And it just is a very dangerous platform, because it just keeps you bound in the material energy and subject to these disasters that we've seen. So, this is another kind of disaster, to insult devotees, to offend devotees. This lesson comes up again and again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we're so fortunate to have a Sangha, to have each other, to help us, each other be Krishna conscious, to serve the deities together, to spread the Sankirtan movement together. Lord Chaitanya's appearance day is coming up, and it's a great festival of Sankirtan. This was Lord Chaitanya's great gift. Lord Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya to show the Yuga Dharma of congregational chanting and congregational glorification, in which together, when we work together in glorifying the Lord, then we help each other stay spiritually strong, so this powerful influence of the Kali Yuga cannot infect the devotees. And even in this age, which is so bad for self-realization otherwise, one can become fully Krishna conscious and spread the Krishna consciousness movement. This is how these things are going on. So, shall I go on? We're going to start a new story. Okay. So another Brahmin also came to see the Kirtan performance, but the door was closed and he could not enter the hall. So this is now the beginning of Sankirtan was in Shiva's Angan. If you, those of you who go to Mayapur, you walk down the road, the closest is Shiva's Angan. It means his courtyard and his house is still preserved or facsimile. And that's where the whole Sankirtan movement started. Lord Chaitanya started dancing and chanting there. Inside, it was closed off. He returned home with an unhappy mind. But on the next day, he met Lord Chaitanya on the bank of the Ganges and spoke to him. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, you get a little more details of how Lord Chaitanya's dancing was very, very famous, you know. He's dancing in this kirtan in his most ecstatic way. But he was only showing that to the internal devotees, you know, Shivas and the others, who were pure Vaishnavs. And Nadia was filled with others, smarta Brahmins and all kinds of people. But they wanted to see the dancing. They weren't yet devotees. Lord Chaitanya didn't want that. You know, he had this pastime where his mood was very delicate. If someone was around who wasn't a devotee, he would feel it. And it comes up in other contexts. So here this Brahmin became very unhappy. He couldn't see the dancing. So now he met Lord Chaitanya. He speaks to him. The Brahmin was expert in talking harshly and cursing others. Thus he broke his sacred thread and declared to Lord Chaitanya, "I shall now curse you, for your behavior has greatly aggrieved me." The Brahmin cursed the Lord. "You shall be bereft of all material happiness." When the Lord heard this, he felt great jubilation within himself. Any faithful person who hears of this Brahmin's cursing Lord Chaitanya is delivered from all Brahminical curses. So, there you go. Purport. One should know with firm conviction that the Lord, being transcendental, is never subject to any curse or benediction. Only ordinary living entities are subjected to curses and punishments of Yamaraj. As the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is beyond such punishments and benedictions. When one understands this fact with faith and love, he personally becomes free from all curses uttered by Brahmins or anyone else. This incident is not mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So it's by way of instructing us, you know. I mean, he's jubilant because a real devotee, he knows that material wealth can be a distraction, an impediment. A tahara, priyasa, part of that ahara is overcollection. So if someone, you know, curses you not to become wealthy, then that's actually a benediction. And we can take it as such. So then Lord Chaitanya blessed Mukunda Dutt with punishment and in this way vanquished all his material depression. So this is another pastime. So these are just mentioned now because as Krishna Skavara has said, then these pastimes are dealt with in more detail in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And so he just gives us a little synopsis or indication. But it's told of here in this paragraph. Maybe we'll, a couple of more. Mukunda Dutt was once forbidden to enter the association of Lord Chaitanya because of his mixing with the Mayabadi impersonalists. When Lord Chaitanya manifested his Mahaprakash, he called all the devotees one after another and blessed them, while Mukunda Dutt stood outside the door. Now the Mahaprakash, how many hours was it? 21 hours? 26 hours. That he revealed in the Shiva Sangan his divinity. He actually sat down on the altar and devotees one after another, they came and worshipped him as the Supreme Lord. And he revealed himself in their own Ishtadeva. This is very unusual because, you know, in oftentimes, every other time, Lord Chaitanya would refuse when they said, "You're Vishnu," or "when you're God," he would close his ear and say, Vishnu, 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 I'm just a sannyasi, you know. And he didn't want to be addressed that way. But this was an exception. But Mukundadatta was being punished because he was mixing with the Mayavadis. So we'll see what happens. The devotees informed the Lord that Mukundadatta was waiting outside. But the Lord replied, I shall not soon be pleased with Mukundadatta, for he explains devotional service among devotees. But when he goes to the Mayavadis to hear from them the Yoga Vasistha Ramayan, which is full of Mayavad philosophy, for this I am greatly displeased with him. So he's not chaste. He's being unchaste is the idea. Hearing the Lord speak in that way, Mukundadatta, standing outside, was exceedingly glad that the Lord would at some time be pleased with him, although he was not pleased at that moment. But when the Lord understood that Mukundadatta was going to give up the association of the Mayavadis for good, he was pleased, and he at once called to see Mukunda. Thus he delivered him from the association of the Mayavadis and gave him the association of pure devotees. I've always heard this, that there's a certain number of births, like 10 million births or something. I think it's the same pastime. He said, oh, maybe not now, but after 10 million births, he'll show me his blessing. So he was. So this shows the sincerity of Mukundadatta, that he shouldn't have gone to the Mayavadis. He never went again. But he was happy that, at least in the future, Lord Chaitanya is sure to show me his mercy. So he became very jubilant, and he showed him his mercy then. Okay, I can't see that clock. There's too much reflection. A few more minutes? Okay. Okay, so here's another pastime. Lord Chaitanya respected Advaita Acharya as his spiritual master, but Advaita Acharya Prabhu was greatly aggrieved by such behavior. He wanted to be the servant. Thus he whimsically, Advaita Acharya whimsically began to explain the path of philosophical speculation, and the Lord in his anger seemingly disrespected him. At that time Advaita Acharya was greatly pleased. The Lord understood this, and he was somewhat ashamed, but he offered Advaita Acharya his benediction. So, okay, this is I think he tells a story here. Advaita Acharya was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Ishwarapuri's spiritual master. Therefore, Ishwarapuri, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, was Advaita Acharya's godbrother. As such, Lord Chaitanya treated Advaita Acharya as his spiritual master. This is the etiquette, you know, that the godbrother of your spiritual master should be treated with great respect. But Advaita Acharya did not like this behavior of Lord Chaitanya, for he wanted to be treated as his eternal servant. Advaita Prabhu's aspiration was to be a servant of the Lord, not his spiritual master. He therefore devised a plan to antagonize the Lord. He began to explain the path of philosophical speculation in the midst of some unfortunate Mayavadis. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he immediately went there and in a very angry mood began to beat Advaita Acharya. At that time, Advaita Acharya, greatly pleased, began to dance, saying, just see how my desire has now been fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to treat me honorably for so long, but now he is treating me neglectfully. This is my reward. His affection for me is so great that he wanted to save me from the hands of the Mayavadis. You wonder, what do these Mayavadis think as this is going on? Hearing this statement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat ashamed, but he was very much pleased with Advaita Acharya. So this, actually, I just read this last time, earlier, a couple of weeks ago. And it illustrates the principle, Ekale Ishwara Krishna Sabhabritya, that there's one Ishwara and all others are his servants. So Lord Chaitanya is that Ishwara, though he took the role of a servant. But even to the level of how Balaram wants to serve Krishna, right? He takes the role, he expands his Sankarshan into all this paraphernalia. You know, the bed, the singasan, the fan, all of these things are Balaram, you know, his energy. And so he loves to serve Krishna as well. And so Advaita Acharya wanted to be in that mood because the ashraya, you know, of the devotion is experiencing even more pleasure than the ashrita. In other words, this is why Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, because he wanted to experience what it was like to serve Krishna. You can't experience that from Krishna's point of view. So we can see how fortunate we are. As living entities, minute living entities, our powers are very, you know, infinitesimal. We have the energies of Krishna in minute degree, right? But the one thing that we have, you know, to an infinite degree, is the ability to experience the pleasure of serving Krishna. That ocean of ananda we can experience as ever expanding, provided that we take pleasure in Krishna's pleasure. It's very scientific. Listen to the logic. That Krishna's ability to enjoy is unlimited. That we know, right? And he's enjoying like anything in the spiritual world. Our ability to enjoy in our conditioned state is obviously very limited, right? It doesn't take much philosophy to see that. So when the soul begins to take up devotional service, we start to experiencing the pleasure of what it's like to give Krishna pleasure, or to participate in his pleasure, which is, after all, unlimited. So when our only pleasure is in giving Krishna pleasure, then we also enter into that experience of ever-increasing pleasure, because his pleasure is unlimited. So this is the logic, and it's actually the fact of devotional service. So therefore, those who are intelligent are hankering, like anything, for a chance to do some devotional service. And that was Prabhupada's great gift. Right? He created this society so that anyone can enter into the circle of devotees and get a chance to do some devotional service. And ultimately come to the point of realizing that that's all there is to do, and that's the greatest thing that we can ever experience. So any questions or comments on this short reading? Some of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip before he took sannyas. I'm sorry? Yes. Different planets. Well, the devotees, the living entities, we have different moods in our original sarup. Some are in the dasya ras; they're happy in Vaikuntha, just serving in that, you know, mood. But Lord Chaitanya especially emphasized, and he showed how one can enter into a relationship with the Lord as a friend, a parent, or even as a lover. And those rasas are only in Goloka. But Goloka is all-pervading. Goloka is unlimited also. So, yes, there are different devotees, different surups. There's variety. There's variegatedness, is probably. But we in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, why did we come into this tradition? Why here? Because we're especially attracted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who, you know, preached these higher rasas, and especially the highest ras, conjugal ras. Yes, Archidabhu.
Just that question you were asking about the length of the Mahaprakash. If I remember correctly, it was 7 praharas, and a prahara is 3 hours, so it was 21 hours.
21, that was my first guess. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, 71.